Though the New Testament never lists it as a spiritual gift, some Christians have the gift of gab. They can talk to anyone about anything. They can put others at ease, even in the most uncomfortable situations. They've never met a stranger. Frankly, I envy them. I wish I had that ability. Yet as Christians, we are all called to be witnesses for Christ. Just before returning to heaven, Jesus told his followers in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." In Mark chapter 5, we read of a man who wanted to be a disciple of Jesus, but Jesus had a different idea. In verse 18, it says, "As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, 'Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.' So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed." Isn't that shocking? Here Jesus has somebody that's all excited. He wants to be a follower. He wants to be a disciple. And Jesus says no. Jesus turned him down, not because he wasn't sincere enough or he didn't know enough or wasn't talented enough. No, Jesus gave him a different mission. Go back home. Tell your family. Tell the people that know you how much God has done for you. And he did that. And the passage ends that the people were amazed at what they had heard. Jesus did not tell them, go to a Bible college or seminary, become a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary. No, he just said, go back home and tell your family. That's what it means to be a witness. It reminds me of an Easter sermon that I preached several years ago. I know, you know, Christmas and Easter have that connection. In Matthew 28, verses 6 and 7, the angels told the women that came to the tomb, "Come and see the place where he lay, then go and tell his disciples." One of the easiest outlines I'd ever come across. Come and see, go and tell. That's what we're called to do. And you don't have to have special training or education or some kind of certification. Just tell what God has done for you. The problem is, most of us who know the Lord aren't very apt to go and tell. We have a hard time moving out into the world. Instead, we've withdrawn from it. So while 98% of us sit back and let the pros or the gifted do the job, the gospel continues to be little known and even less believed. By our withdrawal, we deprive many of those the only opportunity they'll have to hear the gospel. And we stifle ourselves also, for we're denied the experience of seeing someone genuinely born into the kingdom of God. And if you ever have that experience, it is so great. You want to do it again. It's one of the greatest experiences you can have. We need to be reminded of a truth that was shared by Timothy Keller in his book, The Prodigal Prophet. Mission is not for the spiritual elite or for the well-rested or for people with the gift of gab or with outgoing personalities or those with theological training. It is for every person who belongs to him. It is because God is by nature ascending God that he never calls us in to bless us without also sending us out to be a blessing to others. That last line is so important. God never blesses us just so that we might be blessed. He blesses us that we might be a blessing to others. And how can we do that? Well, we can tell what God has done in our lives. So, as we conclude this morning, our series on sharpening our spiritual skills of Christmas, I'd like to focus on the skill of witness. Let's go back to that passage that was read earlier in Luke chapter 2. Again, it is a very familiar passage. And it's easy to kind of just see words on a page and our minds can wander off. But take a fresh look at these words. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. "And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Some have suggested that because the shepherds had the sheep out in the fields at night, what obviously couldn't have been December because it's way too cold for that. Well, a little different climate over there. So it doesn't preclude when this could have taken place. But we are told that sheep that were raised in the vicinity of Jerusalem, including Bethlehem, were sheep that were used for the sacrifices at the temple. So that's the sheep that were being watched would eventually be sacrifices for the sins of the people. "An angel of the Lord appeared to them," meaning the shepherds, "and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." I mean, imagine that. Pitch black, right? Maybe there were stars in the sky, but it's really, really dark. And you want to be very, very quiet so that you can hear predators sneaking up to steal the sheep. And I imagine these shepherds are straining their eyes to see in the darkness, straining their ears to hear, fighting off sleep. We don't know exactly when in the night it was, but could have been the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. "And the glory of the Lord shone around them." That was one bright light in the middle of the night. You ever been dead asleep and someone comes in and turns the light on? That's enough to jar you awake. That's what these shepherds experienced. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be terrified, because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David," meaning Bethlehem, "a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Christ is the Greek word. You could put Messiah in there and it means the same thing. The Messiah has come. He has been born this night, just over the hillside, not far away. The Savior has been born. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." If one angel wasn't enough, now you got a whole choir of them. I imagine it was pretty loud, hearing all of those angels singing and saying the praises of God. "And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another," I didn't see anything, did you? "Well, I shouldn't have ate that pizza so late last night, right? I'm seeing things." No. "They said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" So they hurried off. There's a real sense of urgency in this text. "They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. But that's not the end. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning this child, all that had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Exactly what they had been told came about. And these shepherds' lives were changed forever. Now, we're familiar with the shepherds, right? In all of our manger scenes, you've got, you know, shepherds, maybe a sheep or two. In all the Christmas pageants, you've always got shepherds, right? In the Charlie Brown Christmas, Shermie is given the part of a shepherd, and he says, "I'm always a shepherd. Every year is the same," right? I remember one Christmas program when I was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 maybe. I had quite a collection of stuffed animals. And one of them was a dog. But we needed a sheep. And so I think it was my brothers or somebody took glue and they glued cotton balls all over my stuffed dog and made it a sheep for the Christmas program. That was my gift. We know about shepherds. We think, oh, you know, these are great guys, right? That's not the reputation they had at the time. As a class, shepherds had a bad reputation. The nature of their calling kept them from observing the ceremonial law that was so important to the religious people of that time. More regrettable was their unfortunate habit of confusing mine with thine out in the fields. Catch my drift? They weren't the most reliable people by reputation. In fact, they weren't even allowed to give witness in a court of law because nobody would believe them. Now, there's no reason of thinking that these particular shepherds that God sent the angels to were anything but devout people and righteous people, but they come from a despised class. So it would have been very shocking for anybody in that time to have heard that God sent his angels to a bunch of shepherds. Really? You know, today it might be like saying, you know, God revealed by angels to a biker gang. People would think, wait a minute, why would he do that? Well, that's the idea. The shepherds were not a respected group of people at that time. And yet God sent the word of the birth of his son first to the shepherds. Those who perhaps were more likely to believe that a Savior had been born. And their response shows that anyone who hears and embraces the message of the gospel will then tell others the truth of it. You can't keep it to yourself. When you find something so life-altering, so great that it changes your life forever, you're not going to keep it inside. They couldn't help but tell those living in and around Bethlehem what the angels had told them that night. You know, Christmas is a wonderful opportunity to tell others about the Savior. Maybe the best time in the calendar, Christmas and Easter, where people outside the church acknowledge something about Jesus. What an opportunity we have to tell them about the Lord. And it's one way that we express our love for Christ. We don't have to wait for a special occasion. Now, I'm not suggesting we obnoxiously force the issue, beat people up with the truth. That's not what I'm talking about. But there will be opportunities during the Christmas holidays, maybe Christmas Day itself, when we can bring how we celebrate Christmas and show the truth of what Christmas is really all about. So watch for open doors. And when you find one, don't hesitate. Speak freely. Tell them the good news. Now, what I'd like to do is to take a little deeper look into what the shepherds did and how they exercised this skill of witness. First, they shared their experience. In verse 17 of Luke chapter 2, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Doesn't say that they, you know, wrote sermons or had, you know, big expositions about the prophets of the Old Testament and how they were fulfilled. They just told people what they had seen and heard. It was about their experience. They went on their way and repeated this great news that God's angels had revealed to them. They recounted their experiences of meeting Mary and Joseph and seeing the baby lying, of all places, in a manger. Now notice, God didn't call the shepherds to preach and to teach in a formal setting. They had neither the training nor the skills to do so. Instead, he charged them with the responsibility to share what they had seen and heard, to just describe their experience. Now, I'm not against biblical and theological training. I mean, it's something we should all strive to know more about God's word and about God's plan. But you don't need formal training to tell someone about Jesus any more than you need medical training to tell somebody about a good doctor that you've had experience with. You're just sharing your experience. Every one of us have a before and after story in our lives. This was my life before I came to Christ. This is my life now. The change that Christ has made is the most powerful part of your witness, because it's something people can see and it's something they can't refute. One of my favorite moments in the life of Christ appears in John chapter 9. Jesus has healed a man that was born blind. He had been blind since birth, and now he's an adult, and everybody knew him. Everybody had seen him. Now all of a sudden he can see. Well, that caused quite an uproar. At that time, the Jewish leaders were trying to find something to accuse Jesus on. So they bring the man in. They're interrogating him. And they're saying, look, we know this man's a sinner. He doesn't follow our rules. I love what the man says in verse 25. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know is I was blind and now I can see. And they couldn't refute that. They were just saying, get out of here. He didn't have all the answers. He wasn't about to engage in their philosophical and theological debates. He just said, I was blind, now I see. And there wasn't anything they could do with that. Sharing our experience. Most people are more interested in your experiences than they are in your exposition of the scriptures. They'd rather know what happened in your life right now than what somebody wrote 2,000 years ago. Now, I'm not denigrating the scriptures at all. I'm looking at it from their perspective. They want something that's real. They want something they can see. And when they see and hear about your experiences, and they see the change in life that you have, that's powerful. So, share your experiences. Secondly, the shepherds shared their excitement. We're told that they spread the word throughout the area. And do you think it sounded something like this? Well, me and the guys were out in the field, you know, and kind of dark. All of a sudden, this angel appeared and said, you know, there's a baby born in a manger. You think that's how they told the story? I doubt it. They're excited. You're like a Bears fan talking about the game last night, right? Wow! 2 minutes left, we're down by 10. Oh, it's amazing. We get so excited about a ball game. How can't we share some of that excitement about the greatest news of all time? Sorry, Packer fans, that I bring that up. Okay, maybe I'm not. but sharing the excitement. Now, I'm sure that the people were caught off guard. Look at the reaction of the listeners. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. It wasn't just, oh, ho-hum, oh, yeah, well, that was nice. They were amazed. Why? Because they could hear it in their voice. This is exciting. This is life-changing. The news they possessed was the greatest information that had ever been heard, far beyond the humdrum lives that they could have expected. The joy of their salvation, their eagerness in sharing it, proved beyond any doubt that these experiences were valid. Again, just like the blind man that could see, they could tell the difference. It was obvious. And there's nothing wrong with being excited about the good news of Jesus. Nothing wrong with being excited about what God has done in our lives. So when we share, we ought to share the excitement. The shepherds' enthusiastic, spontaneous witnessing had a profound effect on those around them. It caused quite a stir in those people. They were amazed at what they had heard. You know, Christmas is an exciting time of year. Ask any child, right? It's too bad that many of us grow out of that childlike wonder and excitement for Christmas. Heard a song this last week about how there's something about Christmas that brings out the kid in me. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be nice to just set aside all of the adult stuff? You know, adulting is hard. You know, it's a drag. Wouldn't it be nice to feel the excitement of Christmas like a kid again? And to share that excitement with others? I think we could all use a little more of that, couldn't we? And then finally, the shepherds shared their exultation. Look down to verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which had been just as they had been told. The emphasis and the direction of their glory was to God. My guess is if the shepherds were around today, if this had happened in our culture and society, they'd have probably called a press conference, right? Make sure they get on the news, okay? Only one L in Samuel. Get the name right. Maybe they'd have wrote a memoir, and they'd have had a book tour, and they'd go around signing copies of their book about what they had seen and heard. It had all been about them, not these guys. We're not even told their names. They went and honored and praised and glorified God for the great things He had done. Warren Wiersbe writes, "These shepherds are good examples for us to imitate today. They received by faith the message God sent them, and they responded with immediate obedience. And after finding the baby, they reported the good news to others, glorifying and praising God." Catch this. They took the place of the angels. I never thought of it that way before. See, the angels came and announced the birth of the baby and sang glory to God in the highest. And then they went back to heaven. There is no recorded instance of the Christmas angels ever appearing again. The shepherds took their place. The shepherds went and told the good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. And the shepherds gave glory to God in the highest. They took the place of the angels. Which, again, would have blown the minds of the people in first century Judea. Shepherds, are you kidding me? They're the furthest thing from angels we could imagine. And that's exactly what God did. The most unlikely are the ones that God loves to use. And we sing about the Christmas angels a lot through the season, but they only appeared once. And now that responsibility has fallen to us. We are called to sharpen the skill of witness, telling those we know the truth about what Christmas is all about. I want to conclude with two thoughts. First, it's not enough to just hear about Jesus. It's not enough to peek in the manger and say, "Oh, how nice. What a lovely scene. It gives me such good feelings." The truth is, even if Christ were born in Bethlehem 1,000 times, but not within you, you are still eternally lost. The Christ who was born into this world must be born into your heart. Religious sentiment, even at Christmas time, without the living Christ, is a yellow brick road to darkness. If you have not had the Bethlehem experience in your heart, where Jesus is born within you, you are still lost. You don't have a story to tell anybody else. So in the words of that Christmas carol, "O little town of Bethlehem," pray, "Cast out my sin and enter in, be born in me today." Make it personal. Allow Christ to be born within you. Receive that gift, the greatest gift ever given, and allow him to change your life forever. Second, for those who have experienced the true meaning of Christmas, we need to be like the shepherds. They became the world's first missionaries, the first in a long line of ordinary, unheralded messengers of the gospel. You know, God is on the move. He's building his church around the world, mostly through people you will never hear of. Folks without significant Twitter followings, no official titles, and of whom the world is just not worthy. Another one of our familiar Christmas songs says, "Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born." You're hard-pressed to find a mountain in the middle of Illinois. Just go, wherever you are, tell the people you encounter the good news of Jesus Christ. That's really what Christmas is all about. And that's something you can do even if you don't have the gift of gab. Just tell others what you've experienced. Share the excitement of what God has done in your life. And always share the exaltation of God. It's all about Him. It's not about us.